Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. It's summertime. Make sure you're fully stocked at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. The peanuts are roasted fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register when you check out. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, absolutely second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, play-by-play call of the day.
We thought we'd go back in time since the word came down that Chase Utley is going to possibly announce his retirement later today. Well, we dug this up back to 2006.
Driven to deep left center field. This ball is extra bases. One hopping off the fence. Nunez scores. Rollins scores. Flying around third. Victorino, he scores. A bases loaded double. Chase Utley. And the Phillies have taken a 5-3 lead here in the seventh inning. Big, big clutch blow by Chase.
Well, those bases loaded numbers just went up.
Really?
58 runs batted in now with the bases loaded. He knew they were committed to get him out away, and he wasn't going to let them get him out away. Throws a slider, it hung a little bit, and he crushed that ball to left center. But that's a great job by Utley to get up on the plate a little bit and say, you're not getting me out away. And Victorino, of course, at first base. That was something to watch.
Right on the heels of J-Roll, there goes Chase, and this is chopped to McBride, who throws it. Chase is going to keep going, and he's safe at home plate.
Wow.
Chase Utley, you are the man.
Harry Callis and Chris Wheeler. Now that's good baseball broadcasting right there. You know, I didn't realize the number of students I still have in my class that I'll ask them the first class, okay, you know, what's your favorite sport? What's your favorite team? Or, you know, what's your favorite team? What's your favorite sport? Who's your favorite announcer? I usually get one-third of the class that says Harry Callis. How about that? How about that? Hey, by the way, the Brewers Outlet specials between now and Tuesday, the new Yuengling Golden Pilsner, 12-pack cans, just $8.99. And the Lion's Head and Light, 24-pack cans, it's pretty good as well, $9.88. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right. There are two words you do not want to see in the same sentence. Subpoena and FBI. Maryland has seen that twice now this particular year. Jesse Doherty joins us from the Washington Post. Jesse, great to have you with us.
Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Obviously, the FBI thing, which went on a pretty hot pace from November to the end of February, has had relatively little news or revelations since, but some of them have been about Maryland. Tell us what has happened with Maryland and why the two subpoenas in the FBI investigation.
Yeah, so with Maryland, there were hints of this back in March when news started to trickle out about Diamond Stone, who was one of the players initially named in the Yahoo reports in conjunction with being paid by agencies while they were in high school or college. And so it's not like it was a total surprise that Maryland was implicated in the FBI scandal or corruption case, whatever you want to call it. But it did come to a head. They released the two subpoenas that had received from federal grand jury in New York this time last week. And what the two subpoenas are for, one is for an unnamed player, which is believed to be Stone, just based on sort of everything, all the indications there, and assistant Beno Ranson and all the records that of Beno recruiting that unnamed player, which again is believed to be Stone. Right. It's annoying to talk in circles about these things, but right. You know, they're not obviously set in stone. And then the other one was for the recruitment of Silvio D'Souza, a player right. who ended up at Kansas,
right.
who has been heavily implicated in all this. So I think, and that second one may not even be necessarily an indictment of Maryland. It may just be that the FBI is cracking in on Kansas and looking to gather any information they can on D'Souza's recruitment from all angles. So I don't think the second one is as bad as the first as far as penalties that could be coming down on them, but the potential of the Diamond Stone case getting hit hard is something that's definitely concerning.
Yeah, the rumors are, and as you filter through the rumors about Diamond Stone, let's start with him out of Milwaukee. Had 39, in fact, against Penn State in a game down there in the 1 year he played. Is that there's $14,000 in enticement money here being right. And that's what they're talking about in terms of him. Does that sound accurate to you?
Yeah, I mean, so it's really interesting because the college's role in all this has like not been clear from the start.
Exactly.
So what Diamond Stone was allegedly paid was by ASM, which is a sports agency run by Andy Miller, to then sign with ASM after he graduated from college. So the allegation is that Stone received $14,000, I think it's like $14,303. Like, where did the $3 come from? and it's that after he left college, he would then sign. So the colleges are getting in trouble for facilitating these things, for having relationships with these runners and agencies, and then a lot of times their relationships with shoe companies because ASM was highly tied to Adidas.
Right.
So with all that said, there's nothing like in the FBI probe right now that says like Maryland paid a player or Maryland
right.
Tried to entice Diamond Stone or Silvio D'Souza, whoever it may be, to come to their university. It's that they are like either complicit or in some way involved in the funneling of this money, allegedly. So it's really bizarre. I mean, we've talked a lot about this. I talked a lot about with colleagues here that the FBI is essentially investigating the violation of NCAA rules.
Right.
They're not even investigating the violation of federal laws. They're investigating NCAA rules.
Right.
It's like they're becoming a wing of the NCAA's investigative team, which to me, I mean, seems like somewhat of a waste of time. But you can take with that what you will.
I understand that, and then but here's a part that's interesting uh-huh. to me, is you brought up in that answer Adidas. And Adidas so far has been the primary shoe company that has at least been openly mentioned in indictments. I think that's fair to say, right?
Yeah.
I think anybody who has any concept of business understands that Maryland is the ultimate Under Armour school.
Right.
So, I mean, and D'Souza ends up signing with Kansas, even though he's a personal friend of Bruno Fernando's. I think that's the connection, I think, is the Bruno Fernando part.
Right. They have a shared guardian.
Yeah. Shared guardian, best of friends, the whole deal. I think there was an assumption that if Maryland signed Fernando, D'Souza might follow. And it didn't happen. Well, guess what Kansas happens to be? Which shoe company is Kansas affiliated with?
Kansas India School.
Exactly right. So, I mean, is it hard to connect the dots on this, or do we make too many assumptions connecting the dots?
Well, it is. I mean, it is and it isn't, because on some cases you see the D'Souza thing would totally check out. That if that's the way the money is supposed to function to get you to sign with certain schools or certain shoe companies.
Exactly.
Now, from the other perspective, Andy Miller was an Adidas sort of agent working with Jim Gatto, who's now one of the people who's been arrested and part of this probe. They're working together and funneling players to the agency and to Adidas. They paid Markelle Fultz a certain sum of money. He went to Nike. So it's like you really can't. I mean, like that's kind of the funniest thing about this whole thing to me. And maybe I shouldn't say funny because there are some rules being violated, but
right.
like. There's no, you can't draw up a contract because
right.
it's illegal. Like, there's no, like, hey, you can't go back later and say, hey, Markelle, or hey, Silvio, like, remember that time, wink, wink, when I gave you that money? He's like, yeah, dude, who are you? Like and
right.
who's going to enforce it? I mean, because you can't go admitting that you paid a player when he was 16. So, like, there's really it's you're almost doing acts of good faith, hoping, well, this guy will remember the money I put in his pocket and he'll sign up my agency one day or my shoe company. But the dots connect sometimes, and other times they just don't. So it's a really inexact science in order to, like, to try and trace it that way.
And the Guardian, by the way, says they didn't take any money at all. So, I mean, the Guardian has told the Kansas City Star that straight out didn't take any. But Maryland's now the ninth school to be subpoenaed in this. And again, being subpoenaed is not guilt, or it just means you've been subpoenaed. But it's so far the obvious ones: Arizona, Auburn, Louisville, Miami, Oklahoma State, USC. Then since that point, North Carolina State, Kansas, and now Maryland in all of this. So I want to go back to the conversation you had in the newsroom. What laws are being violated here potentially that would bring an FBI investigation? It's one thing for you and I, Jesse, to sit here and talk about NCAA violations. You and I get that part. What laws are actually being broken here?
I'm not even entirely sure. Like, potentially breach of contract? Tampering,
fraud,
fraud would be one. Yeah, I think that was the case in the Brian Bowen story, which is he's the player who was supposed to go to Louisville and now has entered the NBA. His dad is potentially being roped into this for fraud,
Maybe the assistant coaches, the four assistant coaches, might be involved in a fraud case.
Right.
Yeah.
They could be. Yeah. But they're not. I mean, what they did was they tried to. I mean, it's like I've seen the parallel drawn, and it's obviously not. It's not an exact parallel, but they say, well, let's think if a college was paying its finest engineering students to come to college, what would happen? Obviously, that there's so much less implication there, and there's not competition on the line and jobs, so it wouldn't happen. But, like, is it illegal to pay a 16-year-old to come to your school? Now, yes, it is. By NCAA rules, it is. But is it a federal law that you can't do that? Is it a federal law that an agency can't soften booster the package up in high school when a player's already, down the line, going to decide 5 years from now about the agency? Is that against the law? I don't know. We're going to find out, I guess, when these trials unfold. But there, it's been extremely cryptic into what exactly is being investigated versus what is just a sort of violation of NCAA rules.
Damon Evans takes over as the athletic director at Maryland. He's been on the job now for a couple of weeks. What kind of challenges does he face, in your opinion, Jesse?
He faces a multitude of challenges. I mean, so I guess just because we're on the topic, and this isn't the most pressing one, but the subpoenas and figuring out how Maryland can either, wade through this and avoid too much penalty or prove that they're innocent is going to be a challenge. And then Maryland is also going through an internal investigation following the death of a sophomore football player, Jordan McNair.
Yeah, one of the offensive linemen. Yep.
Right. And that's he died on June 13th at 19 years old. The investigation started the third week of June, run by an outside athletic training consulting firm, and then that could run for up to 90 days. So you could be looking at mid-September for when results that come out.
And by the way, so the fans know it's Jordan McNair you're talking about.
Yeah, Jordan McNair. Yep. And then on top of that, I mean, after you discuss that, this seems sort of inconsequential, but there's a lot of fundraising projects that Maryland has to tie loose ends on. And then there's the very basic fact of on-field performance has not been great. I mean, your football team is 10-15 across the last 2 years, and your basketball team didn't make the postseason last year and underachieving. And one could argue that it's the most critical year of Mark Turgeon's basketball career. And now you're a new AD who has to come in and sort of potentially make some tough decisions and make some ultimatums on potentially performance goals for some of your coaches. That is a tough thing to do when you're sort of the new sheriff in town. But he faces a lot of large scale issues as he takes over.
All right, Jesse, what is this? I want to say it's year five for Maryland in the Big Ten. Does that sound right?
Damon came on right as they were transitioning, and that was 2014.
Yeah, so it's the fifth season coming up. Obviously, the ACC, especially in basketball, runs very, very deep still in the in the thoughts and minds of Maryland people. So where is the Big Ten in the Maryland mindset of the fan?
Yeah, I think there's a certain amount of spite for it. I'm fairly new on the beat, but just from what I've heard, is that it's not the ACC. You don't have those rivalries. There's no. But it's not going to happen in 5 years either, because you're not going to develop those Dukes and the UNC or whatever it is. Those games that really got everyone jazzed up. I mean, Michigan coming to College Park isn't the same. And the problem is that a lot of these schools don't match up well in, you know, from sport to sport. Either Maryland's way behind in football or they're way ahead in basketball, a lot of these schools.
Right.
So there really isn't a lot of, like, well-matched, you know, and actually that hasn't been the case last year or so with basketball, but usually, typically, they are more closer to a blue blood in basketball and really far from it in football. So if you can't compete at all with Michigan, you know, Michigan's a good one that they can compete with in basketball, but in the football rivalry, it's non-existent. Penn State's same thing. I mean, basketball's usually a pretty good game. Football, I mean, it's not in the same stratosphere. So I don't think they have a school right now that they really can match up with in the two major sports that people can say every time you point to them on the calendar for both sports, that's going to be a big game. And that's a problem. I mean, you need to develop those rivalries across sports and something people can really get up for. And I think Maryland has not had success in the Big Ten, so their fan base is just already going to be spiteful of it for that reason. And also there just isn't the marquee matchups year to year that get them excited to come to College Park and turn on the TV. And it doesn't have the same vibe and buzz.
Jesse, you mentioned it is a pivotal year for Mark Turgeon. I think that's I'm paraphrasing your statement accurately. What about DJ Durkin? Now, last year they had that great win to open the season at Texas.
Yeah.
And then they got to the point where you and I were considered options at quarterback late. you can't help that part. But where is the thought process on DJ in what is now, I think, his fourth season coming up?
Yeah, so it's DJ, I think he's got it's his third season coming up now.
Third season, okay.
He's 10-15. 25, yeah, third season. So he's getting his guys in. And I mean, that's such a cliche, but I think anytime a coach is just starting out, you have to assume that, like, you have to give them at least a leeway to get their team in line.
Right.
And their recruits. And he's doing a really good job there. They've recruited the area fairly well. I mean, the DMV is extremely talented, and guys are still getting out, but you're not going to get everyone. And I think that the recruiting has been a really good foreshadow for, or at least it's bought him some time, because fans see that they're climbing up the rankings, they're getting some four-star guys, they're getting guys that maybe they weren't available to them in past years, and Durkin's staff has really made a dent there, and that all that can do is buy you time, because obviously you're going to have to produce. You're not going to hang your hat on recruiting stars when it's all said and done, but I don't think the 2 years set him forward or back at all. I think it just sort of, they happened. He had guys left over from the old regime, and now he sort of is setting up himself to have the program he wants to. I don't think there's necessarily a crazy amount of buzz right now around DJ Durkin's program, but I also don't think there's, like, a crazy amount of doubt either on the fan base. I think it's fairly neutral, and he has an opportunity now, and this is a big season for him, too, to sort of paint the kind of picture he wants to in College Park.
Yeah, and it is his third season, because Randy Edsall was there for Penn State's first
right.
game with them, and then Mike Locksley was the interim when Penn State played
right.
them down in Baltimore. So, yeah, it's his third season coming up. The shoe companies for a moment, because obviously Under Armour is a very important part of what happens at Maryland. Is that a fair statement? I mean,
that they have a lot of influence on what happens?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially with Kevin Plank being a major donor as well. Yeah.
Yet, if you look at Nike stock, it's really high. Adidas stock is really high. But even in a stock split, Under Armour went nowhere last year. Is there some concern that, you know, at least on the Maryland part, long term, like, okay, wait a minute. Now, those two are strong, but the one we're hooked in with, and I know it's an alumnus, is there concern there at all about that, or is that just fine?
I would say that if you were like a lower level or a second tier or a third tier Under Armour school, you might consider, hey, you know, with things not going as well as they have been, maybe we're going to consider making a switch.
Right.
But Maryland, even if they're not performance-wise a first-tier school, they're always going to be, like you said, taken care of in the way of a blue blood at Maryland. They're on Plank's connection, their geographic location in relation to the headquarters. Like, they are the Under Armour school, for better or worse. Even if they necessarily don't perform to that level year to year where they deserve that, I don't think Maryland ever has to worry about Under Armour not taking care of that. It would be a school if you were sort of on the edge of,
okay.
if you were like a like a Temple. I don't know. Like I'm not even sure who Temple is sponsored by, but they were an Under Armour school, a school of that caliber.
Right.
And they were like, well, you know, the stock isn't great. Maybe we have an opportunity to catch on as a 10th tier school at Nike. Maybe it's better for us.
Okay.
But I don't think Maryland ever has to wonder what its place is in the ecosystem as long as Under Armour's taking care of it.
See, Jesse and I are able to cover legal stuff, subpoenas, the law, football, basketball, and Wall Street. I mean, what other interview can encapsulate all six
what
areas?
Do you need? If you're on any other radio station right now, you can tune into this. Right?
That's exactly. We just took care of everything. We just took care of the financial update, the legal update, and the sports update.
Right. CNN, C-SPAN, it's all right.
We're all good, Jesse. Hey, thanks a lot for your time. Really appreciate it and the insight.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
All right, that's Jesse Daugherty from the Washington Post. The great one coming up final half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Four city blocks of new Ford trucks. Over 40,000 trucks sold. SMC is where you want to be.
Sunbury Motors Ford has over 110 new Ford trucks. And during July, they'll include a complimentary accessory package. With the purchase of any new F-150 through July 31st, receive a tonneau cover, molded flash guards, and window deflectors
at no additional charge. SMC is where you want to be.
Because they have the largest selection of new Ford trucks
in all of central Pennsylvania.
And that means the biggest savings. Take up to $13,500 off on new F-150s, and SMC has them starting as low as $26,669. Save up to $7,000 on 2018 Ford Escapes, and they're slashed as low as $19,380. 2018 Explorers, Edges, and Expeditions will also be clearly marked with discounts up to $8,000.
SMC is where you want to be in July
for this mega summer spectacular sale and the complimentary F-150 accessory package. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
F-150 accessory package valued at $699. Excludes prior sales and older units.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Including the new Yuengling Golden Pilsner. 12-pack cans for $8.99 between now and Tuesday. And Lion's Head and Light, 24-pack cans, just $9.88. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It is a summer weekend in the middle of July. Stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We now go to Karnak from the East, who will say hi to the masses. Well, that was a rousing start, Sean.
He bombed and he didn't even say anything.
I just blew the company up. I'm free.
Oh. There you go. Hey, by the way, Tony Carr, who's been with the New Orleans Pelicans and their NBA Summer League team, looks like he's on the verge of going to the Italian League, the top Italian league, to play for Larry Brown with Fiat Torino. Now, that means that New Orleans will retain his rights, but they will not have to include his contract on their payroll for the salary cap, and then gives them the option to sign him at the end of the Italian season. So, just giving everybody up to date on that.
So it's almost like a farm club, but it's a club that's not really affiliated with New Orleans.
This happens all the time with various players. Mike Muscala. Mike Muscala played overseas and then ended up with the Atlanta Hawks. So it's really the same concept. Get a little more seasoning, get over there. He's going to be well coached. Larry Brown can flat out coach. And that will be the story for Tony for the upcoming year. I'm not surprised at this. I thought that this was going to end up being an option for him, especially being a late second round pick. So, there you go. There is the news of the Penn State news of the day. Oh, by the way, they're also handing out schedule posters tonight at the Arts Festival here. And every time they hand out schedule posters, they get thoroughly and completely mobbed. I mean, the popularity of this program is just incredible.
What's it about?
The football schedule poster?
Mm-hmm.
All they're doing is going downtown as a team and handing out football schedule posters.
Oh, the team does it?
Yeah, the team. The players do it.
Oh, I see. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. The players go down and they hand them out. And obviously they get mobbed along the way.
Hey, what's his name doing? Is he still with the Patriots, the quarterback?
Talking about Hackenberg?
Yeah.
I don't know where Christian is right now. Last I checked, he was still a free agent. I knew New England had some interest in him.
He was in their, voluntary workouts. He was at that.
Yeah, and he was with the Raiders for a period of time, and then they cut him. I think for Christian, there's two options here. Number one, get into a camp and do everything you can to end up being the third quarterback that on game day gets to dress, but you're not active unless the other two quarterbacks get hurt. And then I think this new Alliance of American Football that will start in the spring, and we had Phil Savage on from the Arizona team, the general manager, on the show earlier in the week. I think that is his best option to show everyone that he can play at the next level, because this Alliance of American Football, it's going to be that transition between a college and an NFL deal. And you're talking about great coaches. I mean, say, for example, Hackenberg were to, say, end up with Arizona. Rick Neuheisel would be his coach. Steve Spurrier is coaching the Orlando team. So I think that to me, is an option that has got to be a realistic one for him.
How about Canadian League?
Canadian League's a little different, Kev, because in the Canadian League, because of the wider field,
yeah,
I think you need mobility to play up there. It's not as if a pocket quarterback can't play there, because Vince Ferragamo played there. Warren Moon was really the definition of a pocket quarterback. But if you watch the CFL today, and every once in a while I catch a CFL game on TV, if you can move a little bit, that really helps. Johnny Manziel's up there. He's a backup quarterback right now.
He's not starting?
Johnny Manziel's not starting.
Wow. So
yeah, he's a
go off the wall again.
Well, I think he went up there. I think he went up there with the idea that he'd compete for it, that he might not start. I mean, he's got a good coach up there in June Jones with the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and I think it's pathetic. I know he's the coach. but I think that's where they are.
Wow. He's a disappointment. He played absolutely the best football game I have ever seen a quarterback play when they beat Alabama.
Yes.
I was just stunned at how good. I'll never forget. He faked it. He ran across the line, didn't cross the line of scrimmage, and then realized, oh, there's nothing there, and he hopped back over a lineman and fell down. over him, rolled to his right, rolled to his left, and threw a friggin' strike 45 yards down the field for a touchdown. He was amazing, and he's never translated that into a pro career. I
Well, he hasn't translated into a pro career because, I mean, he's had off-the-field problems. He can't get himself straight there.
Well, I get that, but that's why I say he's such a disappointment. He's got all the talent in the world, just natural ability that he makes a coach look great.
Well, his problem right now is Jeremiah Masoli, the quarterback out of Ole Miss. I mean, Masoli's hitting 66% of his passes. I mean, he's the quarterback. And he's not a bad runner himself. I mean, that's his problem.
The Canadian league's always been good. Doug Flutie flourished up there.
So did Joe Theismann.
Yeah.
Joe Theismann played 3 years in the Canadian Football League with Toronto.
Theismann swears by the Canadian league. It's a good football league. It's really good football. Warren Moon was up there for a long time.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize that what is the number three league in North America in attendance? Number one, it's the NFL, obviously. Number two is Major League Baseball. And number three is the Canadian Football League.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they average 27,000 fans a game.
That's good.
Yeah, no, I mean,
they don't have an NFL team.
Canada, I think out of respect for the CFL, I think they've stayed away from putting a team in Canada.
Really? I mean, NHL, basketball, I mean, baseball,
but the difference...
But they're
merged together. They aren't a competing league.
But they play at different times of the year,
The CFL goes to Thanksgiving. The CFL goes to Thanksgiving.
I think their season just started not too long ago, right?
Yeah, they're four games in.
I know Manziel was playing. He was playing well. So.
Yeah. Their season goes to November 3rd. Big matchup on November 3rd between the Montreal Alouettes and the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Everybody wants to see it.
Yeah, they watch the NFL all the time, you know. It's not like they don't watch the NFL with television, cable, and all that.
The Buffalo Bills played a game every year in Toronto for how many years, Sean? 5 years, maybe?
Something like that. Wasn't one of them a preseason game, too, I think?
Yeah, I mean they've done okay there, but I think that number one. Let's start with this: the NFL is absolutely enamored, completely enamored with putting a team in London. Now I don't know why, but they are.
That's just a bad business plan. I don't. It's not fair to the players.
I would have thought if there's one team that would jump would be Jacksonville, just because of their owner is also the owner of Fulham in the Premier League for English football. But if Jacksonville keeps on winning,
right? Well, I mean, John Henry owns the Red Sox and Liverpool. The Red Sox aren't going to England.
Yeah.
So
and you got Tottenham Hotspur. They're building that new stadium in London, and there's going to be, NFL games there like once a year for, the next 5 or 6 years once that building gets finished?
Wow. The first game in Tottenham is this year. I was talking to Scott Radisic. He did not have anything to do with the project, but he works for the same company. The Tottenham deal is so cool. To accommodate the NFL and to accommodate soccer, the soccer pitch is all grass, right? They hit a button, and in three parts, it peels away under the stands where there are heating lamps and underneath to take care of the grass, and the football field rises up.
That's pretty cool.
Right? Wow. Then you hit the button, the football field goes back down, and the soccer pitch comes back in three parts and connects.
Someone hits the button while they're playing?
then suddenly, he's at the 40, the 58. Wow, he lost him.
Offsides.
speaking of stadiums, our great friend Randy from Danville called up a couple of minutes ago. He was traveling through Ann Arbor not too long ago. He drove past Michigan Stadium. And
the first question
he asked, though, Where's everybody park?
Well, Randy, as you listen, I can tell you that, first of all, you saw the high school across the street. Okay? That has a huge parking lot, so a lot of people park over there. That's one. And as you were going down the street, Randy, did you notice the golf course? They park cars on the golf course.
Wow.
That golf course, Randy, was designed by Alistair McKenzie. Yes, the same Alistair McKenzie that designed Augusta National. Seven Saturdays in the fall, Alistair McKenzie turns over in his grave.
Now, they must have been parking there for years.
They have been.
Yeah.
They have been. They don't park them in the greens, obviously, and they try everything they can to park them in the rough. But they park cars on the golf course there. And then there's Pioneer High School, which is across the street and has a huge parking lot, and they utilize that as well. So that's part of the parking that they have in Ann Arbor. But you're right, Randy, there's not a lot of great parking there. There's not a lot of great parking in almost every stadium out there. That's why I always laugh a little bit when somebody complains to me about parking at Beaver Stadium. Yeah, you may be far away at times, but you're all in the proximity to the stadium. You're not parking in garages. You're not being bussed in. You're not parking in some area or looking around saying, okay, do we need breadcrumbs to get back?
Boy, me and Claire were driving around the morning we were there. It was 7:30 in the morning. They were lined up at the parking places.
It's unbelievable.
3:30 game. It was pretty cool. Hey,
it's an all-day party.
Talking about Dad, Mom and Dad taking disco.
Yeah, I did. Disco Demolition Night between the White Sox and the Indians, it was?
Yeah.
Is that who it was? All right. But I mentioned that Mom and Dad took disco lessons. Disco Ron, Disco Bar.
Mom was good. Dad couldn't dance. He tried hard. That's when they had leisure suits. Remember Dad's leisure suit?
Yeah, I know, Dad. I know.
Now, here we go. This is my music.
Now, Dad tried. Mom was actually very good.
Yeah, Mom had rhythm.
Yeah, so. No, she was really good.
Well, it was hard. I mean, Mom was 5 foot nothing, and Dad was 6'1", 300 pounds, you know. Not exactly John Travolta out there. But he thought he was. That's what made it fun. Oh, man, I'm going.
Well, remember, they practiced this in the house.
Oh, yeah, downstairs. He built it downstairs. So
yeah.
All his friends, they took disco with all those Lions Club members. And there would be like 10 couples down in the basement. I used to make their tapes for them. Saturday Night Fever, you know. Dad started doing the arm thing. It was cool.
Well, I can tell you right now, in terms of dancing, I inherited my rhythm from Dad. So,
yeah.
Mom was actually good. She was really good.
Yeah, Mom could dance.
She could.
She loved to dance. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, so is your wife. Your wife loves to dance. Claire's a great dancer.
Oh, my wife can dance. I like to watch her dance.
Sometimes I'll make like at a wedding, I'll make a move at a dance floor, and when people
dance.
Go wow, they'll say wow, and it's
dance.
Only because
you dance at the wedding.
Only,
you were really
it's
good.
Only because I tripped. It came out funky.
No, you were good. You danced with Claire.
I did dance with Claire. Yes.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
It was a great
time. Another one. We got another one next year.
That's unbelievable.
And Christopher's getting married next year. So,
wow. You know, do you like
how about
girl?
That? Oh, a lot. She's terrific. Absolutely.
Good.
Oh, no. She's terrific. I like her
How's
a lot.
How's Megan doing out in Guam?
Megan is coming home in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And Megan's husband has been transferred to Andrews Air Force Base, home of Air Force One. And she has a full-time teaching job across the river in Woodbridge, Virginia. She starts in August.
Excellent.
Yes.
So life is good.
Yes, it is. Very good. Yeah.
Good.
Got you, got Sean. I'm feeling great. Got Brewer's Outlet. Got Sunbury Motors.
I got no
life's
pickles.
Good. I understand that.
See, here's the dilemma. I was concerned with vacation next week and your little trek up to the Northeast if I had to make a little detour to Brewer's Outlet and then swing by your place tomorrow with a certain delivery.
Well,
I will pick them up when I come this fall to a football game. Is that better for you?
Well, I know it's better for Sean and me.
I want to go to Brewer's Outlet.
Buys us more time.
Yeah. Oh, buys us a lot more time. And not only that, Corey's really great. Corey's great about setting up a variety of pickles, too.
Oh, are you kidding me? More than just pickles.
Oh it's really good.
They finally get that new Yingling Golden Pilsner in. When that first came out, you could only get it in Schuylkill County, so it's finally crossed the border.
Wow.
Look, don't make Schuylkill County sound like it was a trip over to Rio Grande. Okay.
Some of them piles of coal, they can be pretty high.
I mean, so far we've compared Schuylkill County to a country in the South, and we talked about the Canadian Football League.
Have an awesome vacation next week. You deserve it.
I'm looking forward to it.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.